for our Wednesday night study in the book of Psalms. And I'm delighted to be with you today. Take your copy of God's Word and go to Psalm 119, beginning in verse 65. Today, we're going to talk for just a few minutes about David. David talks about life lessons here, things that he's learned in life and his walk with God and in his faith. And I was reminded of an event that happened in my life when I was younger. We grew up with horses, my brother and I, and we had several horses. And I've been riding horses since I was very small. And we had a horse at one time that was not real keen on being ridden. He would be very difficult sometimes. And one day I was riding this horse, and on that particular day, like usually, he wasn't happy that I was riding him, and he was acting up. And in dealing with him, I leaned forward, and he threw his head back and hit me in the face. And I don't know if you've ever ridden horses, and I don't know if you've ever been around horses, but a horse's head is very hard, and he almost knocked me out. And I learned a lesson from that event. It was painful. It hurt. But I learned that when the horse is being difficult, don't lean forward because they can hit you with their head. And that was the only time that happened. From then on, I stayed back so he couldn't hit me with his head. What David is saying here is kind of the same thing. He's going to tell us that as we go through life, as we walk with the Lord after we're saved, as we go through events in life, we go through experiences, trials, tribulations, difficulties, and I'll show you in a moment, even sin, when we get into sin and we fail God, in God's grace, he has built into all of those events in our lives an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow spiritually. And that's what David is going to say here. He says, Lord, all these things in my life, you're good. You made good out of them. And that's what he's going to say. Look at verses 65 and 66 here in Psalm 119. Now David says to God, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Now David begins by saying, Lord, you have dealt well with me, meaning you've dealt with kindness to me. You've dealt with grace and with mercy. God, you've dealt with long suffering and patience toward me, because David understood, as do we all, that he received far more than he deserved, and he did not receive the judgment that he deserved. And so David simply says to God, when I look back at all these things in my life, and I'm sure each one of us can do that, God, I see times in my life when I was completely in the wrong. I was in sin, or I was being rebellious, or I was being arrogant. And God, you dealt good with me. You dealt kindly with me. You dealt with me according to grace, according to your word. Now, I would suggest the same is true for us today. God has dealt with us far better than we deserve. And that goes without saying. If you're saved, you know that intuitively. God has granted to us grace instead of judgment. God's granted to us opportunity to confess our sin, to repent of it, and to turn away from it rather than chastening and judgment right away. I know in my own life there are times when I deserve God's judgment and I deserve God's chastening, and yet he was gracious and he was patient and he was kind, and God has always been that way with us. And so David says, God, you've been good to me, and I thank you for that. Well, we should say the same thing. We should say to God, always, thank you for your patience and thank you for your kindness. But let me point out three things, a couple of other things other than it's true for each of our lives that we could apply what David said to us. And one of them is this. There's nothing in life like learning from experience. It's not always the easiest schoolmaster. In fact, we can learn from someone talking to us. We can learn from watching others. But when we experience something in life, when we go through the fire, if you will, when we go through an event, when we fail God and confess and are restored, when we go through a trial or a tribulation in life, we learn lessons, spiritual lessons, that you can't learn any other way. We learn it from experience. And what it does is it equips us to be ready for the next time it comes around. It makes us stronger in our faith in the Lord. I know my dad used to say to me, He say, son, there are two ways you can learn things in life. You can listen to what I tell you, and you can learn from the wisdom that I'm going to give you, or you can ignore what I say and you can do it yourself and learn the hard way. And he would always say, it will be the hard way. And Dad would say, I will tell you where the pitfalls are that I stepped in, and from experience tell you, you don't want to go down that road. And God does that with us every day. The Holy Spirit is continually at work in our lives, moving us to do right and to shun evil and to obey God. And God would say to us, you can, according to my word, you can walk with integrity and walk in holiness, or we can be rebellious as we often are and learn the hard way. And then another thing we can understand here is that all of God's instruction to us, even through experience, is according to his word. Everything God has promised us, all of his goodness to us, even the judgments are in the Bible. God said the wages of sin is death. We don't have to have any doubt about that. The penalty, the wages of sin is death. We know from reading the Bible, nothing good comes out of sin. Nothing. Nothing good ever comes from sin. We may get into sin because it appeals to the flesh, and we may get into sin because it's attractive and we think that that's what we want, but it always leaves a bitter taste in the end. God said it's always according to his word. His goodness to us is according to his word. One writer said the word of God is the conduit of God's grace. In other words, it is because God said it that he does it for us. Now think about it for a moment. God loved us before time began. God chose us in Jesus Christ before the world began, meaning God put in place, already had the plan of salvation in place before he ever created the universe. And so it is according to God's word. It's according to his goodness to us that we learn and we understand. What a tremendous thought that God would be good to us throughout this life, even in our weaknesses. And then David said here, he said, teach me good judgment knowledge. Well, that's good because it's connected to the whole context of what he's saying. He said, God, from these experiences, from learning through experience as I do about you and from walking with you and growing in my faith and what we would call spiritual maturity, David said, from these things, give me good judgment and knowledge. Now, what he's saying is this, God, I need discernment. I need to not just have knowledge, not just knowing things. He said, I need to be able to apply it. We call that wisdom. See, wisdom is not just being smart. Wisdom is being able to use what we know correctly. Wisdom is being able to use knowledge to do well, to live out truth, to walk with God. That's wisdom. And David is saying here, God, I need discernment to be able to determine right from wrong. I need discernment to know truth from error, good from bad. I need discernment, the knowledge that I gain from these experiences, God. I need discernment to be able to do what is right. And I would suggest we need the same thing today. There are a lot of folks who are smart. There are a lot of people who have knowledge. They gain knowledge through life, and they gain knowledge through academic pursuits. But I would suggest that there are a lot of people with knowledge who have shallow judgment. We'll just call it that, shallow judgment. Meaning their discernment's not very good. They know a lot of things, but they don't really discern well right from wrong or truth from error. And that is particularly true, listen to me, that's particularly true for baby Christians, young Christians. A person who gets saved, they have come to know God in a personal way. They've confessed their sin with a repentant heart. They've by faith asked Jesus to save them, and God has saved them. Now, they have a knowledge they didn't have before. They have a knowledge of the living God. They have a personal knowledge of the living God. But they don't have a lot of discernment because they don't know God's word very well. But as their knowledge increases, then it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are granted wisdom or granted discernment so that when we walk through the world, we begin to see the world through a biblical lens, a biblical worldview. And so then we begin to discern good and bad and evil and wickedness from goodness and holiness. And so David asked for that. He said, Lord, God, I need this kind of discernment. Now, David needed it not only as a saved man, but he needed it as the king because he was in his position as the king of Israel, responsible to God to lead the people to follow him. And David needed wisdom to be able to do that. And so David asked for it. Let me say a moment, just a word about experiences in the Christian life. We all know that God allows things to come into our lives that are sometimes unpleasant. God, being saved, doesn't guarantee us a walk through the rose garden of life, if you will. To be saved simply means that whatever God allows to come into our lives, whatever path God chooses for us to walk, He's going to walk it with us, and we can walk it in His power, and we can walk it faithfully because He's the one who called us to it. But there are trials and tribulations in life that God allows to come. He allows those difficulties to come. Sickness, loss of loved ones who are sick, pandemics that we're in right now, uncertainties, loss of jobs, financial setbacks, relational difficulties. God, listen, we understand God could smooth all those things over and they'd all go away. God has the power to make our life just easy from one end to the other, from birth to death. God could do that. And listen, when we get our new resurrection body and we are with Jesus forever in His kingdom, life will be like that. There will be no problems. There'll be nothing. But in this life, God didn't promise that. God, in His grace, as David has said here, not only can He, but He does take those difficult events that we struggle through, that in pain we cry out to God, oh God, these things are hard. And He grows us through that. And He blesses us through that. And we come out the other side stronger and more equipped and better equipped to serve God. We learn lessons through those events. And God uses them for our good and for His glory. Now let me say something about sin. When we get saved, God forgives all our sin, past, present, future. We are never again accountable to God in an eternal setting between heaven and hell for our sin. God has pardoned our sin, past, present, future, and we are secure in Jesus Christ. I'm as sure of heaven right now in this moment as I will be 10,000 years from now, and same for you if you're saved. However, after we're saved, we still fail God because in our flesh, we cannot live sinlessly in this life. It should be our desire to live sinlessly. It should be our desire to be holy before God every day. It should be our desire to think holy, to speak holy, and to live a life that reflects the holiness of God. That should be our desire. However, we do sin and fail God. Now, what happens when we sin? You're a saved man or woman, I'm saved, and we sin, however it might be. Well, the Bible says that as a saved man, I don't have to get saved over again. What I am called to do, according to 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10, I am called to confess my sin when I become aware of it. As a child of God, I confess to God, God, I have sinned, I have failed you. I'm not getting re-saved. I'm already saved. What I'm doing is I am clearing up this disobedience, the sin that is in my life, so that my fellowship and God's power can stay fully engaged in my life so that I'm not hindered by my sin. Now, when we sin as Christians, we're sorry for it because the Holy Spirit convicts us and we don't want to offend God. But understand this, in God's goodness to us, watch this, God can take even our sin and grow us spiritually from our failures. Isn't that marvelous? That even when I fail God, that for instance, I am so grieved over the fact that I failed God and that I did something I shouldn't do or I said or thought something I shouldn't think, that it makes me more resolute, more resolved in the power of the Holy Spirit to not do that again. So do you see that even in sin, God grows us and teaches us, hey, I felt the pain of that failure. And I don't want to feel that anymore, God. And I don't want to be that way anymore. And so it makes us more resolute to walk with God. So isn't God good that even in our tribulations and trials, as David said here, Lord, you have done well to your servant, God. You have been good to me. Now, David does speak in verse 67 about the value of affliction or troubles. And he speaks to it here in a different way. Look at it in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. All David's saying is that he had failed God at some point, before I was afflicted, before I was chastened, before I felt the conviction of my sin, I had gone astray. Now, how does that happen? Today, I would suggest that there's a great danger in our Western culture for Christianity. When we find ourselves in a life of ease, if you will, in a life of prosperity, in a life of no troubles, in a life of seemingly everything you could want in this life, that's a grace of God, and we're thankful for it. But there's a danger in that, because when we live that way, and we live that way a lot in the Western culture, especially in the United States, there's a danger of complacency. And there's a danger that we get self-sufficient. In this country, there are people who have lots of financial resources. Maybe God blessed them with a great job, and they have lots of money in the bank, and they are financially independent and secure. Well, there's a danger, just to use that as an example, that we become dependent on our money instead of God. We might become proud. We might become self-centered. The point is, when we live a life of ease and prosperity, it's a grace of God. We have to be careful and not let those things dull our spiritual senses, or let those things become our God. And David basically said, I've done some of that. And I lived in ease, and I was living at ease, and then I messed it up. And we think back to the illustration of David and Bathsheba. If you remember that story, when he committed adultery and killed her husband, two great sins in his life, he did it when the army was at war, and he stayed home. And he did it when he was taking a nap, and he went out to walk on the roof, and he saw a woman. Had he not been in a life of ease, had he not been at home doing nothing, had he been out leading the army or been out with the army at the time of war, he would have never been home to commit that sin. Now I'm not saying that's an excuse for David. I'm just saying it's a perfect example that David said here, Lord, before I was afflicted, I went astray, meaning before I had these trials, before I had these difficulties, I went astray. And he's saying that it brought me back. It brought me back to where I need to be. Now think of another illustration in the Bible of the same thing. You remember in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons, and the younger son came to his dad and said, I want my inheritance because I'm leaving. He didn't want to stay home. So the dad gives him his inheritance, and he goes to a far country. And the Bible says he consumed his resources in riotous living, which encompasses everything that the world could offer. Now, there came a day when his resources ran out. He spent them all. He consumed them in his lifestyle of sin. And he found himself in a pig pen feeding the pigs, and a famine came, and there was no food. And the boy was so hungry that he thought about eating the food that the pigs were eating. The Bible says that while he was in that pig pen feeding those pigs and in that state of starvation, the Bible says he came to himself. Here's what that means. The affliction that his sin had brought into his life. And remember, now listen, he wasn't in affliction because God put him in affliction. He was in affliction because of his own sinful choices. But that built-in affliction that comes with sin, that built-in punishment and judgment that comes with sin, had brought him to a place where he considered his condition. He was afflicted, and it caused him to reconsider where he was with his father and even spiritually. And so the boy decided to go home, and you know the rest of the story. His dad received him back. The boy was restored because of his affliction. All I'm saying is that God uses the affliction of our own sin when we are the cause of our own problems, which many times is the case, or God uses those things that he allows to come into our lives to bring us where he wants us to be spiritually. And then David praises God for that. Look at verse 68. He said, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. David's simply saying, God, you're just good in all these things that you bring into my life, or that you allow to come into my life. And so it is today. God is good to us, even in our disobedience. Even when our problems are our own doing, God is still good to us. It's so terrible. It's so terrible when Christians experience some difficulty in life and then they blame God. And they get upset with God, and they want to quit and take their Christian crayons and go home. No, listen, God is good to us. Even in the deepest, darkest valleys of life, God is good to us. And David says that here. God grants those things in our lives and uses them to draw us closer to him. Now, the last thing David talks about here today in our Bible study, he kind of shifts gears a little bit, and he talks about the enemy. Those who don't like God, and then those who don't like him because they don't like God. Look at verses 69 and 70. He said, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in your law." Now, here's what David's saying. Remember that term proud? 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we talked about proud is a term that David used to speak of lost men and women. Proud is a term that defines those who defy God. And he uses that term correctly because of this. He said, they're proud, and so therefore they resist the truth. The same is true today. Lost men and women stay lost predominantly, not for a lack of knowledge, not for a lack of evangelism, not for a lack of somebody telling them about Jesus. They stay lost because of pride. They stay lost because they know the truth and that they reject the truth. It's their pride that won't allow them to confess that God is God. It's their pride that won't allow them to confess or say that my sin is my problem, it's my fault, and I'm guilty. It's pride that keeps them from doing that. It's pride that keeps them from saying, God, not my will, but yours. Pride. So the proud are his enemy. The proud assault him. Now, he said here, they forge a lie against me. Now, why would they do that? Well, the proud, the lost, want to impugn David's character. They want to impugn his testimony. They want to bring a lie against him to hurt his testimony because they know that hurts the cause of Christ. And so David says, Lord, they bring this lie and they impugn my character. And so David is praying about the enemy and about how he responds to them. Now, let me tell you, the same thing happens today. The world hates Christianity. The world will attack Christianity at every turn. On TV, Christians are portrayed as idiots. We're portrayed as fools. In society today, leaders and politicians and government people make fun of Christianity. And there are multitudes of people around the country who have prominent positions of leadership who speak ill of Christians, who speak bad of Christians. Why? Because they don't like God and they're proud. And so if they don't like Jesus, they're not going to like us who follow Jesus. Now think about it for a minute. The world looks for every opportunity to bring shame on the cause of Christ. A pastor somewhere falls, a Christian leader falls, some Christian ministry has some falling out. The world pounces on that, and they love to highlight that stuff. Why? Because it brings injury to the cause of Christ, which reminds us of something. How much more important is it for us in this day that we guard our testimony? That when someone comes to bring a lie or to impugn our character or to attack the cause of Christ, that they're ashamed because of the walk that we set before them. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verses 15 to 17. Listen to this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. He said, sanctify God in your heart. Set him apart. Set your life apart for God and be ready to give an answer. A defense, if you will, for those who would attack the faith. Listen, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer the good, doing good, than for doing evil. You know what Peter's saying there? He said, live such a life before the world that they're even ashamed to bring a false accusation against us because it's so evident that the life we live is for Jesus that they say, there's nothing we can say against that man or woman or against that ministry because of their integrity. And then David said this, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. What he's saying is that when the enemy attacks, God, I'll not retaliate with evil against evil. I'll not try to injure them. I'll let you deal with them. And there's nothing wrong with refuting error, with saying that's not true, that's a lie. But we do it with respect and with fear and with humility. David said, God, I'll do that according to your word. Listen, today we've learned about learning from life's experiences. Sometimes that's the hardest lesson. Boy, it's the hardest school to be in, the school of hard knocks, if you will. But you and I both know that that's the school lesson we learned that stays with us the longest. That's the thing we'll never forget. And so God has a purpose. God has a purpose for having us walk through those times because we're in school and we're learning spiritually. don't be upset about God's training in your life. Now listen, if you've come across this video and you're watching it today and you've never been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God said, the wages of sin is death. Without Jesus Christ, you will be spending eternity separated from him in a place called hell, a place of torment, a lake of fire. You don't have to go there. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin, to pay for the sin of the whole world. If you will bow your head right now, confess your sin to God, say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Would you forgive me and save my soul right now? God will save you. Would you do that today? Thank you for spending this time.